and Zoning Commission. First item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Next item is approval of the minutes. Mark, just take a minute, look through the minutes, and see if anybody has any... Is there a motion on the approval of minutes?
Oh, no. Motion to approve the minutes.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Next item is persons to address the commission. Are you here to observe or to address?
Sir, we're here just to observe. My son is a member of Troop 210, Boy Scout Troop in Carolina Beach. He's working on a communications and citizenship merit badge. And one of the requirements was to attend a public or government meeting.
Ah, okay.
So therefore, that's why we're here.
That's great. All right. Well, as you will see, we won't have a lot of excitement here tonight. Not like a city council or town council meeting, which could get quite verbal sometimes, but we'll just kind of run through various things. Since we don't have a lot of people in the audience, if you have any questions, feel free to ask us. You know, I mean, this is... We have to be somewhat formal, but we're not as formal as perhaps it seems. So you can feel free to ask any questions about why we do things, why we go through the process of the agenda. In fact, possibly if our other council or if our other member here doesn't show up, maybe we can provide a copy of the agenda to two of them. Might be, you know, kind of interesting to see it. So
that would be great.
Okay, that's great. In fact, let me just give this to you right. Actually, I printed one off just a moment here.
Why don't we get his name and put it in our minutes tonight?
Yeah, I printed off an extra one right here.
That's what I would like to know what his name is.
Yeah, why don't you stand up and address us, and then you get your name in the minutes. Mm-hmm. So feel free to stand up. Normally we'd have the microphone there, but I don't think the microphone's turned on. But just go ahead and address us and give us your name and where you live, and then tell us what you're doing.
Okay. My name is Dylan Wishart, D-Y-L-A-N-W-I-S-H-A-R-T, and I live in Wilmington.
Spell your last name again for me.
W-I-S-H-A-R-T.
Okay. Dylan Wishart. Okay. And you're with Boy Scout Troop 210?
Yes, ma'am.
At Carolina Beach. Okay.
And I live in Wilmington, over the Snow Scout Bridge in the Cape.
Okay.
And I'm in Troop 210, and I'm working on first class, and I'm a patrol leader of the patrols in our troop. And we recently just went on a trip to Virginia, Mount Rogers. It's the highest peak in Virginia. So
this is a communication merit badge?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What else do you have to do for the communication merit badge?
We had to do a 5-minute speech. We have to go to camp every year, and we take at least like 5 merit badges, and there's many requirements on it. We had to talk about it, like any subject that had to do with scouting, and stand up and we had to write it the first night, and that would be a grade for our requirement. And the next day we had to talk about it, and that would count if you got the merit badge. And also you had to visit a national landmark.
Okay.
And I'd come to the scout meeting and talk about it.
Good, okay. Well, I'm a professor at the Cameron School of Business at UNCW, and one of the things we teach all of our students there is communication is one of the most important things to success. So, you know, congratulations on pushing towards that merit badge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome to our meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, hearing nobody else here to address the commission, next agenda item is on old business. This is an update regarding the ongoing summer research regarding form-based planning. I was hoping that we could get a what's called a practicum with our MBA program. I put it out there. There was some interest by a couple of students to work with us. However, that doesn't look like that's going to come through. They're going to do another practicum on with the Department of Defense that I'm working with. So, unfortunately, we don't have a student to work with us for 6 months. That would have been very nice, but hopefully next year we'll have somebody. I would suggest that the whole issue related to form-based planning, again, we table that to the next meeting, given that we're only 3 out of 5 here, and I think that we really can't push ahead on something as important as that without having a full, plus we don't have a representative to the council here either. So I would like to make a motion to table agenda item 5A until our October meeting.
October
meeting.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, good. Agenda item 5B, update on action taken by the town council to fill open position on the Planning and Zoning Commission. I was there for the council meeting. I was not there for the interview. It was my understanding that there were two people that applied. One person was there for the interview, and I believe they did interview them, but the council wanted to wait until they could interview the second person before they made a decision. Is that pretty much what happened?
Yes.
Okay. So there was no movement on that item. Is there any further discussion on the open position? Okay. Agenda item 5C. This is a request by Ann to go on not inactive status. The agenda says inactive status. Actually, the request is to get into an alternate position, evidently similar to what the Board of Adjustment has. We had talked about this last time, I believe it's in the minutes, that we felt it was the town council's decision to deal with this particular issue in proper form. They sent it back to us, and they asked us to deal with it. So, we'll open it for discussion. They're actually looking for a formal motion. Oops.
Oh, Emily.
This is Emily. Okay. Hello. We're pushing through here. I'm glad you're here because we're talking about the alternate position request by Ann. I was just mentioning that we had kind of sent it up to the town council to make a decision on that, and I guess you had discussed it and sent it back to us for a formal motion either to recommend an alternate position for Ann or not recommend it. That's my understanding.
Yes.
So we haven't discussed it yet. We just opened up the discussion is there any discussion, recommendations, or anything?
To the best of my knowledge, depends on we've never had any alternate members. I mean, we usually have 5 full-time members, and we try to have all these people at each meeting.
I mean, my opinion, I just don't think that such a position works for this committee. I mean, we worked on a side on it for 3 years, and if she was an alternate, or 2 years, if she was an alternate that filled in one time, for that, what good? And really, she wouldn't have had any input. But you can't research all that stuff at a comfortable meeting as an alternate if someone's absent. So I just don't think an alternate on PNZ is the right thing to do. You're either a member or you're not.
Yeah, we're either going to be here or maybe resubmit when you're able to attend the meetings or something.
I would agree with that. I don't think an alternate or an active status makes sense for a planning commission. I mean, the obligation really isn't that great. Probably have on some evenings half-hour meetings and some, I think the max would be 2 hours. There's really no other obligations other than maybe a meeting once a quarter or once a year on some other issue. The issues are complex. We're talking about form-based planning. We're talking about alternative energy, you know, sort of things, you know, we talked about sign ordinances, zoning changes and things like this. This, I think, requires people to kind of show up and be familiar with what's going on. So as much as I think Ann's been a great contributor to the commission, I do think that an alternative or an inactive status, however you want to define it, doesn't work. And my recommendation is that the town council implement the obligations of membership for this commission, since this is a legally bound commission. So I think as a formal motion, which is what they asked us to do, does anybody want to make a formal, very simple formal motion back to the town council?
Should be statements in the, you're going through it, should be statements in the vote, member attendance or?
I think the request is just whether we would recommend an alternative or inactive status. We can make a very simple motion from the sound of it. I'll go ahead and make the motion that the Planning and Zoning Commission does not recommend the establishment of either inactive or alternative positions for the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I'll second that.
Okay, ready for the discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Well,
I made a second. Okay, thank you.
Okay, agenda item 5D. Town council to name a new liaison. Emily, you're now our liaison, right, Emily?
Well, at least for tonight.
Okay, all right. So I guess that takes care of that agenda item.
Yes.
By the way, here is, as I'll be talking about this next, this is the email I sent out after the last council meeting about the solar stuff. Okay, this is going to be one of our faster meetings, I think. So, under old business, 5E. This is the alternative energy issue that I brought up last time, that, you know, given rapidly decreasing costs and rapidly increasing technology and alternative energy, increased energy costs and things like that, there's going to be more and more, I think, interest in putting either solar panels or wind power alternative energy systems here in Curie Beach or anywhere, you know, within North Carolina. And that many municipalities throughout the United States are now trying to develop ordinances to try to, you know, regulate this so that, you know, there aren't any sort of problems. What I did, as I mentioned last time, I was going to go to the council anytime that we want to maybe kind of look at something a little bit out more out of the ordinary. It's good to get feedback from the council. I did present this to the town council for the August meeting. Generally saying that these are kind of the issues, you know, just want to let them know that, you know, we'd be looking at this and you know, kind of get some feedback on that. I think in general, all of them said, yeah, let's go ahead and look at it. There were some concerns, particularly by the mayor, in terms of putting any regulations on this. I did say at that time that there was not a state law that regulates the ability of the municipalities to put some regulations. After I got that feedback from the council, I went back and, you know, sat on my internet and did several hours of research that evening, and in fact found that there is a regulation. And let me just go through this in case. I did send this to everybody on an email, I think, late that night or the next day or something like that, to both the Planning and Zoning Commission members as well as the town council. There is a state of North Carolina. In 2010, late 2010, they did enact a law, General Statute 168-201, which I put at the end of this thing. It's actually the cut and paste from that statute. Basically, what it says is that municipalities cannot put restrictions on solar panels unless they can be seen from the front. You know, that's basically what it says, is that for aesthetic reasons, it doesn't say for aesthetic reasons, but that's obviously why they did it, is when you look at the kind of descriptors here, it's kind of an odd sort of thing. It says, this section does not, this is on 168-201 section C, Says, this section does not prohibit an ordinance that would prohibit the location of solar collectors as described in subsection A, etc., that are visible by a person on the ground, on the facade of a structure that faces areas open to common areas or public access, on a roof surface that slopes downward toward the same areas open to common or public access that the facade of the structure faces. And number three, I don't understand. Within the area set off by a line running across the facade of the structure extending to the property boundaries on either side of the facade and those areas of common or public access faced by the structure. The best I can figure is that if you're standing in front, you can't see it from the side either. I think that's what this says. The bottom line is that we do have a restriction here that says that we can't do much if unless it can be seen from the front. I think that's how I would just basically read this. Couple of points that I made out in right here. It was quite clear that this only addresses homeowners and does not address commercial. The state ordinance is completely silent on commercial. And I think, as I mentioned last time in the research that I did, is that most of the municipalities that are electing to have restrictions, and many of them are going that direction, seem to have stronger or stricter restrictions for commercial properties and industrial properties than they do for residential. Because again, you can have huge things on commercial properties and so forth. This also does not restrict HOAs. That doesn't really affect us, but I just want to point out that that some states are actually passing ordinances that restrict HOAs or homeowners associations from passing ordinances. There is talk of that in the state of North Carolina, but that has not passed right now. So the only restriction is, again, as I mentioned, that basically if it's on the backside of a house from the public access or from the road, we can't have any restrictions on solar panels.
Well, except on the houses on the beach. They can be seen by the public on both sides.
Yeah.
And so that's...
I actually thought of that because what does that mean by parks? Parks are represented public access too. You have houses where you have roads on both sides where you could be on a road on the backside of a house and certainly see it too. In fact, I would doubt if there's not a single house in this town that all the roofs can't be seen from front some public access. I think what this is a very poorly written ordinance that was pushed very, very quickly through without thinking about things like, beachfront and all that sort of thing. But you're absolutely right. That's exactly what I thought. How would you read this for a beachfront property?
Yeah. Well, it says a structure that faces areas open to common or public access. Well,
right.
That's public access all up and down the beach.
So essentially that means that it would restrict beachfront properties from having anything. You couldn't have it on the front or the back, and probably not on the side. You could see that from either the beach or the...
Well, it says that you... I guess you can do an ordinance. You can prohibit them.
Right, from having that. Exactly.
Doesn't automatically prohibit.
Right, exactly. I mean, this simply says restricts the municipality from doing certain things and restricting certain things. So anyway, this is kind of the guiding North Carolina issue. The other thing is that we talked about very quickly is wind turbines, obviously another alternative energy source. The issue with wind turbines is both visual and noise. I don't know if anybody has been by a large wind turbine, but it's a noisy affair. In Indiana several times, and they have a lot of these
right now. Except that the squiggly ones don't make any noise.
Yeah, squiggly ones, but the traditional bladed ones certainly make a lot of noise, and obviously it's a visual issue too. As far as I can find, there is no state regulation like for solar panels or wind turbines. I did find that several counties in North Carolina have passed their own laws restricting wind turbines based primarily on noise and height. And the way they tend to do that is noise restrictions, can't be above a certain decibel level, a certain distance away, and things like that, and through setback requirements. In fact, kind of a standard one, I was going to cut and paste this, is a kind of a chart that says that if it's, the turbine is 20 feet, it's got to be 20 feet setback from a property. If it's 35 feet, it's got to be a further setback, kind of a, sort of thing that's built on that. You know, let me ask John. I mean, right now, under the ordinance, if I wanted to put a wind turbine 35 feet high in my backyard, is there any restrictions?
Probably there is.
So anyway, I think that's an issue.
As long as you're accepting.
As long as I'm 5 feet away from the property line, yeah, okay. And that could be the noisiest thing I want, as long as I don't violate some noise ordinance that we have here, okay. Anyway, what I thought that we might do, and certainly, you know, it's up to the commission on that, is given, again, we don't have two members, I think this is an important issue. I think that, you know, this kind of provides some background on the state regulations, and I would just suggest that maybe we just drive around and think about how we may want to deal with this particular issue. You know, we may just want to simply say it can't go above the roof line. By the way, this would prohibit, you know, roof line too, because if you're in the front and you see it coming up on the back side above the roof line, you know, this doesn't restrict it, but, you know, it would allow us to establish an ordinance that would restricting going above the roof line. You know, we may want to talk about this next time in a little more detail. I can go out and get to see what other people have done in terms of both wind turbines as well as thinking about how we may want to deal with this issue. I mean, certainly the major issue is if we, folks at like my property, I could put it on the backside so it's not seen from my front street, and I could face the sun, but people across the street from me would then, you know, be restricted from doing that. So, you know, I mean, there's kind of a discriminatory process that could be put in place in terms of just simply the issue of sun. Should also point out, I guess I didn't write it in here. I did. There's another interesting issue developing, and that is the right to sun. Okay. There is a right to sun under state level solar panels laws. Obviously, probably the most aggressive are in California. And it's a sort of thing where if you have a municipal set of laws that allows these things to be put in place, does that give them a right to sun? For example, if I put it on my roof and my neighbor has some low trees and those trees grow up, can I force that neighbor to cut those trees down? And in California and some other states, in fact, the courts have generally supported the right to sun, unless you specifically put statements that this is not a right to sun in the ordinance. You know, so, you know, if we do go in that direction of an ordinance to address some of these issues, the right to wind, the right to sun, you know, those sort of things may be issues that we may want to consider. So, yes?
And then also takes care of developers building in front of your or behind your house too, that would block the sun. But my question was about solar hot water heaters like they have in China, and whether or not we consider those, because I understand from my energy alternative friends that those are becoming very, very popular in the United States.
And right, for water, sure, for heating water.
There's these big round aluminum tanks that sit on top of the buildings, and almost everybody in China has one. On apartment buildings, there are dozens, and I can bring you some pictures of some that I
took
last year, and they're huge, and they sit, especially on a flat roof, they sit on top.
I've been talking primarily about active solar panels, but when you read the state ordinance, okay, the state ordinance says, it's a restriction on municipalities putting restrictions on the installation of a solar collector that gathers solar radiation as a substitute for traditional energy for water heating, active space heating and cooling, passive heating, or generating electricity. So, you know, basically, if we do address this issue, we would have to address it in a way that it would accommodate these type of water heating systems, the piped water heating systems that, you know, you see sometimes, as well as the act of solar generation or electrical generation type of things. So, I don't think there's anything, at least my recommendation is that we table this till next time, but I wanted to bring these issues out. And I would just recommend just driving around, thinking about this idea of discrimination. If we restrict it in a way, does that restrict half the people? Does reading this mean that people on the beach can't have it on either side. You know, do we want to allow, do we want to have something to prohibit at least some sort of behavior such as, you know, a 30-foot house now, jumping it up 5 feet above the roof line, which probably wouldn't look very good as long as they're under 35 feet. This is completely silent about standalone units. You know, there's nothing in here about standalone units or how to interpret that. And then also the wind generator systems. We may want to address these sort of things. So just just kind of more informative and plus a nod enough head saying, okay, let's go ahead and look at this issue and try to come back with something before the council. They certainly didn't give us a lot of suggestions in terms of direction, but simply recognizing that we will be looking at this issue. Any further discussion on this?
Is there any examples of any of these in our area that you were in?
Not necessarily
on the beach, but maybe the Williamson Festival.
No, there were regulations, municipal regulations in the state of North Carolina prior to the state law. Those have all been struck off the books because they generally were pretty restrictive. The only one that I could actually find in the state of North Carolina at the municipal level, because again, this superseded all these municipal laws, and so I'm sure a lot of them now are dealing with this particular issue just like what we are, was the city of Chapel Hill. And Chapel Hill's regulation is put up as many solar panels as you want, anywhere you want. That's basically
the
regulation.
Did you check with NextEd or Dare County?
I didn't. I just did a Google. You know, I Googled.
I know they have some that particularly this elementary school there
right.
was going to put up some, and they made them move them.
So I'll check on that. You know, it's in fact. You know, maybe that's one thing that we should all do is kind of check and see what's out there, and because when you look at it, solar panels that are active. Photoelectronic sort of thing versus a passive water system where you just put a tank on the roof are very, very different in terms of how our regulations would have to be written. And, it's a complicated thing, but I think we need to do something or else we're going to have windmills and, solar panels everywhere probably in the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's becoming cost effective now to do it.
Yeah.
Is
there a
motion?
Is there a motion to table
the issue? I'll, after that long introduction, I'll make a motion to table this until our next meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. New business? Is there any new business by the commission?
May I ask another question? Sorry, this is from Dean, so I
can't. Oh, great.
Although it's really from the whole council.
Double side.
I don't know if you consider this old business or new business, but you may remember when you spoke to the council, you promised them that, yes, you would still work on the extension of the B1 district down K Avenue.
I was going to mention that member item there.
And at the same time, and we really, really would like for you to be working on that.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about that as new business then. You're absolutely right. I was kind of caught by surprise because I believe the mayor, when I was presenting this, felt that, well, a more important issue was the extension of B1 down K.
He said it's in the land use plan, but I haven't seen it.
That caught me by surprise. I don't remember us talking about that at all.
It's been talked about in the past. I don't know that it's actually been talked about in P&Z.
Right. And I think when Tim Fuller was on, we talked about, what if it extended. That was one thing he liked was extended.
It is in the land use plan, but there's not much that really talks about it. But we do have a conceptual drawing of our zoning map that shows B1 extending up K Avenue.
If that is the interest, obviously, and the mayor expressed an interest, I don't know if that summarized the council's opinion. We can certainly put it on the agenda for the October meeting and maybe start moving ahead on that if that is of an interest. But it's not something that I know we've talked about in the last year and a half or so. I don't
think it's ever been on the agenda or as a item that we thought.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'll try to talk to the other council members and see if this is a mayor's issue or a council issue.
I think that would be very good, because it kind of caught me by surprise, because we hadn't talked about that. Okay. And obviously, that would require some substantial zoning issues and all sorts of things like that, public hearings. So if it is the desire of the council to move in that direction, in fact, you may want to put it on the next council meeting, because then you have your discussion before we have the planning and zoning. But if it is the desire of the council, and we're charged with doing that, we'll certainly do it. But to be on the safe side, let's go ahead and put that on the October agenda for P&Z. Is there any other new business? Member items? And I think the point is that we're pushing many of our discussions back, because I think it's a general feeling all these are very important. But having only three members, we don't feel comfortable having some important discussions with only three members. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor say aye. Okay. Good. Thank you. Yes.
As with everything, sir, I was wondering if we could possibly get a photo with my son up there, possibly.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Sure.
Document this sort of thing for merit badges, even.
Absolutely. I have to admit, this is a first. So the first time I think anybody want to take a picture of us. Come on up.
And if you provide an email, you might be sending the minutes for this meeting or something.
It's on the website.
He can go on the website.
How about up front?
Oh, you want us to sit?
The other one. That's fine.
You want to stand up front? Or you can have you sit in this
right there.
See?
You can sit one.
Yeah. Oh, word for him. What's it? What's it?
I don't
know what it's God, take your hands down. You sit right here, okay?
I feel a lot more comfortable in the chair.
And here. Come have a gavel. Okay. There you go. Open up. There you go.
I've changed chair. Cheese. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it. There you go. Thank you so much.
Well, I was a scout as a kid, too.
Didn't make you know that I had to. That's what we did. That's what about 2 years ago.
Good luck.
Council took it away from the Planning and Zoning Commission and said this should be our responsibility.
We used to interview inter own members.
Oh, yeah. It was pre. Thank you. Coming on. Yeah, there was a.
It didn't drag out here as long.
No, it was taken away from us in a very aggressive way, and so we've washed our hands.
Thank you, sir.
I feel much more comfortable about it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Getting someone to do guys.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Taken away from us because we.
Thank you, sir. He's two ranks away from working on the Eagle, so we're getting there.
Oh, very good.
Congratulations. And he's only 13, so.
Oh, wow.
That's even better. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Just a little history. During the last election, a person who lost running for mayor applied. He was on the. I don't think he was on planning. Was he on planning? No, he went on planning zone. But he did apply for planning zoning because he wanted to continue, working with a couple of people didn't like that he had run, and I guess there was some personal conflicts going on. And so basically, there was an effort to take away all the interviewing and recommendations from P&Z, and I think from all the commissions, basically.
No,
from P&Z, but it had to do with that one particular instance, but it was clearly taken away from us in a very aggressive manner. We argued against it, but it was clearly voted, and so we're out of that picture.
Well, they could just do like they did when I applied to be on P&Z and was interviewed by the whole committee.
On P&Z committee.
That's how it was until this particular political issue.
Mayor Betty Medlin told the P&Z committee that they absolutely would not select me to be on P&Z.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Well, it even went further than that. It was taken away from us.
One of their members told me they were told under no uncertain terms I absolutely even if you have the power, you don't really have the power.
No,
we just made recommendations to the council.
We just made recommendations, and we did. I mean, well, our format was
made.
give you a copy.
A recommendation.
I read it on emails.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if it was gotten.
And the recommendation was made, and it was not accepted, but in the process of doing that, then our ability to interview, to take the role of doing and make the recommendation was taken away from us about a year ago.
Always, always in.
That had changed.
Yes, yes.
Always in the past, though, most of the time, we made a recommendation for a member, the council usually agreed and thought it was the right thing.
And then you got Alan on there.
Yeah.
So that changed a lot of stuff.
Okay. All right, good night, everyone.
Good night.